We're going to Hebrews and chapter 11, Hebrews 11. And today we're going to talk about Noah. And Noah means comfort. What a blessing to have a name called comfort. Kind of like the Holy Ghost, right? The comforter, the Paracletus, one who comes alongside to help. And Noah sure took care of bringing salvation to him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. In a very dark time upon the earth. But Noah actually did this by faith. And so we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, and verse 7 is where we find this. You know, I was thinking that we would go on and do Noah, because he was only one verse, and also Abraham and Sarah. But wow, I read that one verse and I went, whoa. What a verse! It's powerful, and it's got some great things, and so we want to spend the whole day on Noah, and we're going to be actually going back and forth between the book of Genesis and the New Testament, so it's a lot to say about Noah. So I'm talking too much here, just a second, let me get to Hebrews 11. Okay, Hebrews 11 verse 7 says this, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Well, that takes us right back to the definition of faith, doesn't it? Verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so Noah, actually exercising faith, was warned of God of things not seen as yet. And he performed many mighty things to get ready for those things that weren't seen yet. And it goes on to say, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. That is, the Lord condemned the world. But Noah, actually, by being the only man of faith, actually that was a condemnation in the light of there was no other people with faith on the planet. It says that he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Yes, he became an heir of that. And if you, I always like to picture that like a math problem. If we had a blackboard back here and we put righteousness and an equal sign, and it's equal to faith. Actually, righteousness, as it says here again, which is by faith. Faith in what God can do, and what God has done, and what God is doing. And we know that that's all about Jesus, as he has been revealed to us in the New Testament. And you know what? It's really neat, because in the conclusion of what we're going to talk about today with Noah, there are key words that refer to Noah, and these key words are actually found in our salvation scripture in the New Testament. And so what it really is the revelation of God's salvation, and actually reaches through the whole Bible from the book of Genesis all the way to Revelation. And we'll see that as we see this developing, this great faith that Noah had. I'd like to give you a little background about this story, is that in the Fertile Crescent, which is between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, in Iraq, is where life began. And I don't know if any of you remember back to 1991 when the Marines went into Iraq from Kuwait to actually deliver Kuwait, actually. And they came to Eridu, the city of Eridu. And Ted Koppel, who was one of my favorite newscasters then, he did Nightline, but he was standing there. And I'll never forget this. And he said, I am standing where they found the statue to the first man. And the archaeologists had actually dug and dug and dug in Eridu, and they found a statue dedicated to the first man that ever lived. And of course, that would be Adam. And you know, that area is actually the area that it seems to point to in Genesis chapter 1 for the Garden of Eden. That there are four rivers that came together. Two of them have disappeared, but Tigris and Euphrates still exist. But in the ancient times, those two rivers met at the bottom. and that doesn't exist anymore. The Persian Gulf is right there, but that is where, in that area, would be the Garden of Eden. And to find a statue, an ancient statue, as they dig down to the first man, that's pretty heavy. Heavy enough for Ted Koppel to mention it on Channel 7 News. Wow. So there you go. So with that, then, we know that Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham was called out of to follow the Lord to where God would show him, ended up to be Israel, the father of the faith, Father Abraham. He was from Ur of the Chaldees, and that's 12 miles from Eridu. 12 miles. Very close. But Pharah, the place where the ark is supposed to have been built, is 70 miles north in between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. And that is a long way from water, ladies and gentlemen. Out in the desert, like the Marines, our Marines call that area the sandbox. And, Noah was out there in Pharaoh. That's where he was born and raised, and that's where they built the ark. And wow, what faith to build a giant ship, 450 feet long, in the middle of nowhere. Where is this thing going to float? Are we going to drag it to the Tigris River and then get it stuck on sandbars? You know, what are we going to do here? Well, it was all faith that Noah was exercising there. So, very great faith. Now, let's talk about the things that Noah had not seen yet. As it says here in the first part of this verse, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. The first thing is rain. It had never rained. Noah had never seen rain. And it seemed to be that's the way it was going here in California for a while, right? We're never going to see rain. But then we saw some rain, didn't we? And that was something. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 7, verse 4. Let's go back to Genesis now and take a look at some of these verses. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. And it says here, I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance or thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And so the Lord begins to talk to Noah about rain, which Noah has never seen yet. And the reason for that is found in Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verses 4 through 6. This is the creation story. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created. This is verse 4 of chapter 2 of Genesis. In the day that the Lord made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole earth, the whole face of the ground. And so instead of having rain, there was a mist. And it's kind of like the greenhouse effect. Now, probably most of you know what a greenhouse is. It's where you can grow plants to their fullest and most, the greatest beauty that you can have them come to by putting plastic up on the roof of an area, and then plastic down the sides, and control the environment of where these things grow. And this is done all over the world. When we were visiting Israel this last time, we noticed there were all these greenhouses through the hills of Israel. And so the Israelis doing the smart thing. They wanted these things to grow, and so they created environments for them to grow in. Actually, the whole earth was like a giant greenhouse because the Lord made a mist go up instead of having it rain. Now, how did this work? Well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says that God said, let there be a firmament, or NIV translation, an expanse, which we're told later on at the end of verse 8, that this expanse is called heaven. There's three heavens. The first heaven reaches to the clouds. The second heaven is the stars. The third heaven is where God lives. And the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians 10, was caught up to the third heaven where God is. And he saw things and heard things that are unlawful to speak about because he was in the heavenlies and saw heaven. And he refused to speak about it because it was so awesome. But anyway, so the first heaven is the clouds. So the firmament, or the expanse here, is simply the heaven above the earth. Now, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Now, this gets a little bit complicated to picture, but I believe the scientists who are Christians have figured it out for us. And so it says, let there be this expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Wow, there's a division between the waters. And there's an expanse between two different bodies of water. And God made the firmament, or heaven, and divided the waters which were under the firmament. So picture some waters, and underneath is the expanse. Which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So there we have definition. It's part the first heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. So he did this on the second day. Now some have proposed that maybe it's because there's some land in there somewhere making the division. But no, land was not yet coming up. Let's read verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. So leave land out of it. It's not in there. So what we have here is a canopy of water around the earth, like the ring around Saturn, filled with water and creating the greenhouse effect, protecting the earth from the harmful rays of the sun. You know how you buy those sunglasses that say UA protection? They're protecting your eyeballs from the sun because there's harmful rays of the sun that make the aging process speed up. Yes, that's where you get your wrinkles and all that stuff that happens as you get older. And people that live at the beach, like I have pretty much all my life, I'm going to get worse than you. Anyway, the point is this. Before the flood of Noah, people lived to be 900 years old. But after the canopies removed from raining out 40 days and 40 nights, then the life expectancy fell to around 200. I believe that Abraham lived to be 186. A dramatic change. That's a change of, using round numbers, about 700 years. Your life expectancy goes from 900 to 200. That's a big drop. And that's kind of hairy. Well, that's what happened with the flood. So rain had never been seen until the Lord popped the bubble up there and mandated it rain. 40 days and 40 nights worldwide as this canopy is emptying. So this is the way the scientists see this, and I love it because it really fits the scriptures. Good description of what happened. So there it is. Now, with this canopy around the earth, you would expect to know that this was a garden effect around the world. And it is interesting that they have found mastodons, which are ancient elephants, with grass still in their mouth that were frozen to death in the Ice Age. And also, and well, let's go to those scriptures. I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's turn over now to chapter 7, verse 11 of Genesis. Chapter 7, verse 11. We'll come back to the Macedon idea in a minute here. Now, in the 600th year of Noah's life, it took him 100 years to build the ark. In the second month, the seventh day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So, in conjunction with the emptying of this canopy, as the windows of heaven above the expanse are opened up, and the rain's coming down, there's volcanic activity in the oceans. And we know what that's like by looking at Indonesia and the tidal wave that hit after that happened. All kinds of upheaval with waters going everywhere. And you begin to understand why the Lord led Noah to build the ark way inland, because he's going to need some kind of area to function there while all these things are happening. He had never seen any of this. And you and I experience some of it now, don't we? But not until God brought that judgment. And so Noah had this great faith to build this ark and know that God was indeed going to destroy the earth. And man, when it started raining, he's going, wow, what's this? Well, that's what God was calling rain. This is what rain is. And it began to fall. And then the upheaval happening with these volcanoes. Now, my family and us, Jared and Jen and the girls, we went to Yellowstone National Park. And you probably, most of you have been there. But Yellowstone is what they call a super volcano. And, this is a volcano that is way bigger than like Mount St. Helens that blew up already. But if Yellowstone was to blow up, and I did the research on this, 90,000 people would die immediately. 90,000 people. And there would be a nuclear winter across the entire United States. And there would be a one-foot layer of molten ash for 1,000 miles all around Yellowstone. This is one honking volcano. And so if that ever went off, that's what we would expect. Now, 1,000 miles would reach almost to the West Coast. And on the other end, reach not as far as to the West Coast, but almost to the Eastern Seaboard in the United States of America. And it also said in the research that the cloud would circle the whole earth and the sun would be darkened. And man, right away, I thought of Revelation reading that. Revelation says that the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give her light. So possible volcanic activity during the tribulation period. But if you can imagine this kind of thing going on worldwide with Noah sitting in his little boat, whoa, I mean, that took a lot of faith. These are things he had not seen yet, and he believed it was coming. So that's why for 100 years he worked hard and gave his labor to build that boat, preaching righteousness. He was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible tells us, all the way, getting all kinds of heckling, boos, and terrible things from the crowds. And there it is. Now, with that, we want to go on to the next thing then, in verse 7 of Hebrews. And it says Noah was moved with holy fear. He had the fear of the Lord in his heart and in his life. And this is so important to us. So important to us. That we would have a respect for God's word, for how the Lord leads in our lives to act and to behave. He had a sobering and kept his line of activity straight before the Lord and did what God wanted and was obedient to the Lord. And because of his obedience, they were saved. And they were risen above that flood, as we know. And that's a great blessing. He was moved with holy fear, is what the NIV translation says, holy fear. And you know, it's just good for us to learn the fear of the Lord, isn't it? That you and I would not ever treat the word of God or a word from God about our lives lightly, But you know, God says what he means, and he means what he says. And we've seen the evidence of people that have turned their backs on the Lord and said, you know, the Bible, it's ancient history and not going to listen to it. And just begin to live like the devil. And there is regretful restitution for living that way. Man, the longer I live, the worse it gets, because you know people and you see people that have turned away from God and walked away without having respect for him and his word anymore. Just want to have fun. And of course, there's pleasure in sin for a season, but that season gets over with pretty quick. I'd like to give you a couple of scriptures on this idea of the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Boy, if I want wisdom, if I want to know what to do with the knowledge I have and what to do next in my life, and I want to ask wisdom from the Lord in respect for him, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. How do you understand your own way? How do you understand how to live? You got to go to the Lord with it, asking for that wisdom and fearing his word, respecting him like a really good father with a great big spanker. Yeah, because he certainly has got that. And he disciplines us and speaks to us. We'll hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Because we tend to get off track. Yes, we do. But the Lord wants to give us correction to each course variation to get back on track. And that's where Noah was. Noah was saying, Lord, it's you and me. And he really had great respect for the Lord. For God had let him know what he was going to do. And that was sobering. So let's go now back to Genesis 6 and verses 5 through 7. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 through 7. Now God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Oh my, there wasn't anyone left on earth that wasn't thinking about evil things continually. And we do have a bend that way, all of us do. But we need to learn how to take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, fight against the wiles, the tricks of the devil. But these people had given themselves over. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil. And God repented. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. How grieved we are. How vexed we are, like righteous Lot was vexed in Sodom and Gomorrah. When we see the wicked things that are going on in our sweet society and our blessed place. You know, this was really happening in a very strong way to us and in the Thursday night men's prayer meeting experience also this week. Sherry and I saw a movie that was so good about the second president of the United States, John Adams. John Adams and his son was also president of the United States later. Isn't that a blessing to have a son that became president too? John Quincy Adams, his oldest son, became president, the seventh president, and John Adams was the second president. And what a straight arrow guy he was. It was so refreshing. Sherry and I were almost cheering watching this movie as he was asked to go as an envoy to Paris during the Revolutionary War, and he kept himself clean there. He was away from his dear wife, who was also famous in her own right, Abigail Adams. What a woman. She was a great woman of prayer. Yeah. And stuck behind him all through their life. And he was in Paris and he was highly tempted. This was a time in Paris when they were going crazy with fornication and bad things and the king's court. And John Adams had to actually live among those people. But for a whole year he was away from his dear wife. But he was able to keep himself. And it was so refreshing to see something like that. To actually get a historical account of a man that was pure and walking straight and not allowing the imaginations that want to break in a situation like that. To keep himself for her. And eventually he sent for her and she came and was there by him. And he called her her best friend. All through their life, my friend. If you get a chance to see this movie, it's so therapeutic to what's going on TV now. Oh, man. And Thursday night, the men's prayer meeting, the guys came in. There was one brother that was disturbed. He says, brother, he says, on every single channel, there's these new shows with gays in it. You know, they're just going gay, gay, be gay, be gay. It's this continual message from Hollywood. Inundating us. Go away from what God says. 20 times in the Bible, God calls being homosexual an abomination to him. An abomination. And so, Hollywood has decided to just slap God in the face and push abomination to the Lord again and again. And gosh, it reminds me of this verse. Every imagination of the thoughts of the man's heart was only evil continually. Now we still have us here at Calvary Chapel Anaheim, and we've got Calvary East Anaheim. We have many churches across our nation that still love Jesus and still recognize sin as sin, and you don't call it anything else. That's what it is. And so the imaginations in our hearts are not continually wicked, thank God. Because these people got to that point. But oh, it causes us to be sober, doesn't it? It causes us to have a fear of the Lord. Because you know what? It came to that with them. And I'm afraid to say it's going to come to that with this stinking old world. We need to be delivered from this present evil world. That's what it says in the Bible. That God is going to deliver us from this present evil world. We're on a very slippery slope. Leave it to Beaver is ancient history. And all of those shows that were edifying. Mayberry isn't around anymore. But what we have is new families with gays in them and saying, accept this. We want to just choke your throat with this stuff and jam it right in your face. And it's so sad. And the Lord was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repents me that I have made man. How sad. How sad is that? And so, brothers and sisters, we need to stay strong in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We need to be like Noah, with the fear of Almighty God ruling our hearts and our minds, and not jump in this river with so many dead fish going downstream. But we're different. We need to be brave. Be courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we need to be honest and upfront and not compromise with the things of this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our home is somewhere beyond the blue, and the angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. So Sherry and I canceled cable last week. Enough! I'm not going to do this anymore. And we look for decent movies, decent things to watch on TV. And, well, there are some things that are very precious. I love the last deal about this movie about John Adams. His wife, Abigail, had gone home to be with the Lord before him. They were married for 54 years. And he was out in the field next to her grave. And this is all historical, taken from historical quotes. And he was with his son. And he said, "Rejoice evermore." All of a sudden he said, "Rejoice evermore." He said, "That's from St. Paul." And it certainly is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Rejoice evermore." Yeah. And he said, and he started to fall on his knees in the field. He says, "I have to fall on my knees and worship God. I have to do this." And his son caught him. He's really old. And he started to cough. He's 90 years old. And his son caught him and kept him. And he says, "My knees just aren't what they were like before." But he said, "Rejoice evermore." And the next day he passed away into the eternal rejoicing of Jesus Christ. And it was on the anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, which he helped write. John Adams was there, along with Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams were really good friends. And they got in a little argument, but then made up really beautifully at the end of their lives. And they died on the same day. John Adams died 4 hours before Thomas Jefferson did. And Thomas Jefferson had in his bedroom, at the foot of his bed where he was dying, a bust of John Adams. And John Adams had at the foot of his bed, while he was dying, a bust of Thomas Jefferson. They loved each other. And they actually were responsible for the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson wrote it, and John Adams talked him into it. It's all in the movie. It's really great. And they died on the same day. And Thomas Jefferson, no matter what any people tell you, Thomas Jefferson said, and they had a quote from him, says, "We're going on to see our loved ones now." And the last thing that John Adams was talking about was his wife. He saw his wife in heaven, Abigail. Oh, Abigail. And I mean, that's when our living room became a pool of tears and great joy. And thinking, man, it's so refreshing to see something decent. It's so refreshing. I want to encourage you with that. Get your minds out of the gutter, you know. "I will put no evil thing before my eyes." This is from a psalm. "I will put no evil thing before my eyes, lest it cling to me." You know, there's a reason that those advertisers spend billions of dollars every year to put their product before you. Because it clings to you. You start singing the jingles, and you end up buying Tide. It works, and the Bible says it works. Don't put any evil thing before your eyes, lest it cling to you. It begins to work into your life and change your life for the worst, to get you moving towards every imagination of the thoughts of your heart being evil. It works on you. So you don't want that to cling to you, so you don't turn that on. Skip on the R movies. Skip them. And if you have problems in certain areas, don't be watching things about those areas, because they'll drag you down. We want to stay on the up and up, amen? Let's stay on the up and up. Let's go with the good. That's what we should. Go with the good. Yeah. Leave the old man behind. For the old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. brand new, fresh new, wonderful new, and staying clean before the Lord. Holy fear that you don't want to become one of those dead fish floating downstream that end up in the water. Now, just as a further warning about this, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, because that was then, but this is now. But let's go to 2 Peter 3:5. Now, Noah's Ark is talked about here in 2 Peter, but then the exhortation comes right to us through that experience. It says, actually, the people were willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So there's that out of the water, in the water comment mentioned in the New Testament. But here we see that people were willingly ignorant. And that's what people do. They become stupid on purpose. They're willingly ignorant. That's the way Pastor Bill did it. Said it yesterday at the men's prayer breakfast. I thought it was so good. Willingly stupid. They just don't want to see it. Don't want to see it. Don't want to listen to it. We were at the Grand Canyon, and at the end of the train ride, the ranger pointed out to us that there were fish fossils in the rock at the top of the Grand Canyon. And the scientists are baffled how fish fossils got in the rock at 7,000 feet in Arizona. And I raised my hand. And I said, what about Noah's flood? There was a lady that laughed out loud at me, mocking that I would believe in Noah's flood. And the ranger said this, we do not discuss religious things here. And I wanted to go, why not, stupid? I mean, I really wanted to say that. I didn't, because I'm a Christian. But I was shocked that in a class that I had at El Camino Junior College, that's where Sherry and I went to school together, that I had a geology class. And the geology guy in the class, the teacher, professor with a balding head, I mean, to say he was older, and he said the same thing. He said, you know, they found fossils at the top of the Grand Canyon and they don't know where they're from, and these mysteries we just don't know about. What about Noah's flood? We don't study religion here in this class. Same answer. I couldn't believe it. It's like these guys were programmed by demons or something, you know. Let's just skip over the truth and get right to the false news. That's become a big... it's craziness. Craziness! So, we're still reading. Verse 6, whereby the world then was being overflowed with water, perished. It perished. It was over. It's too late for anybody to say we don't discuss religion here. But the heavens and the earth, which are now... talking about our heavens and our earth since the flood, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition, which means hell, of ungodly men. So we should be sobered today, just like Noah was sobered in his day, and take heed to the fear of the Lord, because this day's coming. All the elements, it says here a little later, will melt with fervent heat, and the world will be burned up. And that's the end for these guys. All these guys that beat against us and call us crazy and Jesus freaks and all that, it's going to be hot, really hot. And so this is to bring to us the wisdom of the fear of the Lord, just like with Noah. Because the end is coming again, this time not by water, but by fire. And it will be over for them. But there's such a neat scripture I'd like to add to this. It's from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 24. Do not be afraid of the sudden destruction of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord shall be your confidence and keep your foot from being taken. And of course, this would refer to the rapture of the church, taking us out before the sun does lose her light and the moon and the stars, before the tribulation period, but also applying to any season of life that we're in. God's watching over you. God has your death planned. In fact, it's not really a death, because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. So actually, Jerry, our brother, didn't really die. Amen. He just changed his address. And if you want to talk to him, you got to go through the Lord. Say, Lord, say hello to Jerry for us. We can do that right now. Lord, please say hello to Jerry for us. In Jesus' name. And he's there. He's live and vibrant, saying here, there, or in the air. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Yes. It's the truth of it. God will lead you with his counsel and afterward receive you to glory. And it's as simple as that. And all of this rough stuff that's coming, we need to pity these people and see if we can get them saved before it's too late. For God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, I want to finish today with the last clause in verse 7 about Noah. And it says that Noah received righteousness by faith. His righteousness was by faith. And I already mentioned that to you. But I want to show you a couple of key words. And this is one of them, that Noah actually received his righteousness by faith, with another key word in Genesis to actually show us that salvation was the same then as it is now. And so let's turn to Genesis 6 and verse 8. Genesis 6 and verse 8. Genesis 6, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace. Now, we've heard and we've read so many times in the scriptures that it's by grace that we're saved. And grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. How was Noah saved? By grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And his righteousness was by faith. And so let me quote to you our salvation scripture, Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. And he has decided to gift us, and we celebrate this every Christmas, the gift from above. The Lord Jesus Christ has been given to you and I as a gift. His grace is demonstrated through Jesus, God's grace. And that's giving to you what you don't deserve, demonstrated through Jesus Christ. And we receive that salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. Exactly the same as Noah. Exactly. And this is a great comfort to us, is it not? It is a great comfort. So I want to give you one more scripture in Genesis about Noah. Let's go to chapter 5 of Genesis and verse 29. And it says this. Noah's father, Lamech, called his name Noah, which means rest or comfort, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands. Jesus said that we should put our hands to the plow and not look back. going hard for God. And he wants to comfort us concerning that. And so he called Noah, Noah. Rest or comfort in the Lord. These parallels have just zoomed me to the heavenlies about our brother Noah. Great faith, great righteousness, great grace, and great comfort. And it's all there, and it's ours. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, has faith in him, will not perish. Won't perish like they did in the flood. Won't perish in the fire that's coming, but have everlasting life. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for these parallels in your word. It is so fun to find the nuggets that you provide for us as we study to show ourselves approved, getting in to this blessed cleansingness that you bring through your word, your precious word. And so, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And thank you for John Adams, Lord. Say hello to him, too. Oh, Lord God, what a bunch of blessed boys there were around that time. And girls, say hello to Abigail Adams for us, too, that prayer warrior. And Father, we thank you, Lord. And so, Father, we just are looking to you. And, you know, as we are here in the spirit of prayer, I want to give you just a moment of silence that you might confess your sins to the Lord. Because it says, if we do confess our sins to the Lord in that fear of God, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He's just because he's taking the blood of Jesus in payment for your sins. And he's bringing justice that way. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The absence of unrighteousness equals righteousness equals faith. And so, let's just go ahead and have that time of silence for you to just do business with the Lord, talk to the Lord, and he wants to respond to you in a very loving way. So, Father, we thank you now, Lord, and pray now for your assurance of pardon. We know by faith that you have forgiven us through your blood and cleansing. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you would desire prayer for anything today, the prayer room's open for you. If you don't know Jesus yet, you need to come to the Lord. You need to confess your sin to the Lord, and maybe you just did that, and so that you have received him. But if you need help to receive the Lord, to say another prayer, come to the prayer room. God bless you. Just continue to watch over you very closely every day, and he will be your salvation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. And that deserves a horn.
Yes.
Go for it, brother. He's going to blow the shofar horn. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you guys.